Relax.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Tiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We are so pleased to have you here each and every Monday with us. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for taking the time out to tune in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is our goal each and every week to bring you information that you can use that can further assist you and those within your responsibility with issues that matter to you. For those of you who are not familiar with Walking Into a New Life and our mission, please know that Walking Into a New Life's mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. And I am so pleased to be the executive director of this organization. It is something that is very dear to my heart. And again, with Blog Talk Radio, it allows us the opportunity to be able to express our feelings and share tangible resources and news that you can use. Your issue may not necessarily be domestic violence. Your passion may be with sexual assault. It may be with human trafficking. It may be reproductive justice. It may be homelessness. It may be cancer. We have had the opportunity to discuss all of those different issues here. So this is about the social issues that matter to you. And I am so very pleased for this month's lineup of guests because we're going to be touching on a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about for various reasons and a lot of misconceptions, and that's with mental health. And for those of you who may not be aware, May is nationally recognized as Mental Health Awareness Month. And our very special guest for this week is someone that we've had on the show in the past, but at that time we were only able to just give her a couple of minutes to talk and share because she was on program with another individual. This time we have the honor and privilege of having Panitra Brown to share the next 30 minutes of her time with us. And I'm going to allow Panitra to tell you a little bit more about herself, but to just give you a little bit of background about her in my own words, I want you to know that she is a bright, beautiful young lady who has a real passion and heart for our young people. She speaks very plainly, very candidly. She's very knowledgeable, and I have had the honor and the privilege to work with her in the past, and I am hopeful that before 2016 is out that we'll have an opportunity to work together. So without further ado, I'm going to allow Panitra to come to you in her own way, tell you a little bit about herself, about what she does, and then we'll just go from there. So at this time, I present to some and introduce to others none other than Panitra Brown. So, Panitra, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Joyce, for having me. I feel like I should take a bow or something. That introduction was quite phenomenal. I don't know if I can live up to the standards of that intro, but I greatly appreciate you for having me.
Thank you for being the person that you are. You are the person that you are. Likewise. Well, again, thank you for having me on.
It is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I am really excited about that. Ms. Joyce basically gave you guys a little information on who I am. My name is Panitra. I go by Pam. I know there's a lot of syllables for people, so I break it down and go by Pam. It just basically just says who I am as a person. I try to make things not complicated. I try to be relatable, and I try to engage people on any level in any capacity that I'm at, and that's whether I'm with my clients or whether I'm hosting or emceeing an event. I feel like what makes me stand out as a therapist or as a mental health counselor is my ability to meet people where they are and not talk down to them. So one of the things that I really work hard at doing is engaging my clients and making them feel comfortable enough to share their stories with me, because that's really what it's about, is getting people to open up and share their stories. And I feel like in mental health, that's one of the major break feel is if they're going to be judged for sharing their stories. So we just keep those stories to ourselves, not realizing that the person right next to you could have the same story or a very similar story, but out of fear of being judged or fear of someone, you know, maybe treating you differently or maybe pitying you. We just keep these stories to ourselves, and we just travel through life with all of this on the inside, and it just leads to a whirlwind of problems. So as a mental health professional, you know, that's one of the things that I try to really, really urge is to just be comfortable in sharing your story, because you never know how simply getting it off your chest or just letting it out and engaging with someone else can really make a difference in your life. So that's one of the things that I really promote.
Now, Pam, how long have you been in this profession, and what made you decide to take this particular route?
Okay, well, I am a native Memphian. Black Haven is where I'm from. So I've been living in Memphis all of my life. And graduated from Whitehaven High School. My mother owned a child care center. And so her entrepreneurial spirit was instilled in us, my sister and I, at a very young age. And we watched her engage the parents that came to the daycare center. It wasn't just a matter of us providing a service to them, but we really worked with the whole family, and my mom provided workshops. She did all types of community work with the parents that she worked with. So that was something that I grew up witnessing, and it was something that was just instilled in me as this is important. We're not better than the people that we serve, although financially we may be in a different position than them. These problems could one day be your problem. And so that was just something that I grew up witnessing. And so, like I said, it's just been instilled in me and just carried on into my life. To undergraduate at the University of Memphis and majored in social work, and decided to go on and get my master's degree in social work as well from UT Memphis when they had their social work program. I started off at the Department of Children's Services. So I worked with foster care youth for about 5 years. So working in that capacity really just kind of strengthened my ability to engage clients and to see the need for greater resources in our community, to see the need for sometimes our children just being lost in the shuffle. And so that was just something that just kind of got instilled in me as for my mom. But in my own journey, it just continued to come up. As much as I tried to run away from working with children because my mama had forced me to work in a daycare all my life, when I got older, I was like, I don't want to work with kids. I'm sick of children. I don't want to do it. But every time I tried to deviate from it, I ended up coming back to it. And so as much as I tried to not do that, I actually accidentally became a social work major. I thought I was majoring in psychology, but unbeknownst to me, I wasn't declared at that time. And so I met with my advisor, and they told me that somehow I had got declared as a social work major. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's a social worker? I don't want to work in the food stamp office. And, you know, and so I had no idea. And I still to this day don't know how that happened, because I wasn't technically taking social work classes, but a lot of my initial classes that I was taking were classes, you know, under psychology, were classes that could go either way. And so they let me know that I really had a lot of credits that would be in the social work program. And so they just advised me to go over there and take a look around and, you know, get a little bit more information about the opportunities that I would have as a social worker. So I did. And I went and met with the dean over there. And, you know, he told me about the different career paths and all of that. And so as a kid, you know, a young adult, I was like, well, I don't want to start over. I don't want to declare another major. So sounds good. Okay. And so it ended up being like, this is what I was supposed to do. And so that's how I kind of came back full circle with working with kids, because my internship was with the Department of Children's Services. And so it's just been full circle working with the youth. And even though I have worked with other populations, my true passion is really working with young people. I've worked with children as young as 5, but my preference really is the adolescent age group, and I feel like that's my strong suit. So stayed at DCS for about 5 years and had my master's degree while I was still working there, and I really just felt like I wanted to thrive a little bit more. I felt smothered in my current position, and it gets to a point where you may be going to a job every day and you just do not feel fulfilled, and it becomes a burden. You know, it's like you pull up and you're like, oh, Lord, let me prepare myself and let me get ready. And so it became a burden, and not so much the clients that I worked with, but it was just a series of events that led up to me, you know, making the decision to leave DCS. But the number one reason was for my own mental health, because I was not happy and I wasn't in a good place mentally while being there. So I made the decision that this is not what I needed to do, and I actually took some time away. Before I quit, I took FMLA, and, you know, I just kind of got myself together. I had a client that had committed suicide, and it was just overwhelming. It was really overwhelming for me. So I took a step back and got my thoughts together, and I accidentally got a position at St. Francis in the mental health department. I didn't even remember applying for the job. And it was just, you know, how you go on the different online sites and you just click apply, 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 where you can just click, and, click and apply. And so I didn't remember applying for the job. And when they called me and asked, was I still interested in the position? Why, of course. So, you know, the spirit just brought it, you know, just brought that to me. So I said, why, of course I'm interested. And I went on my interview, had no idea what I was interviewing for. And they offered me a PRN position. At that time, had no idea what that really meant. And so I left my full-time government job with my good government benefits to explore a new arena as a behavior health therapist at a mental health hospital. So I started at St. Francis, and initially it was a really good experience. In my experience working at my mother's child care center, I was over her before and after school program. And so the summer camp, I ran her summer camp, and I also, you know, was in charge of the program. So I've always been really good at coordinating children and doing programs and things like that. So at St. Francis, I really started doing group therapy, and that became a passion for me. So I basically took my experience with summer camp and working with youth in that capacity and just put my own mental health twist to it. And so it just was a great formula for a really great group therapy. I was able to engage the children easily because I'm able to engage children anyway. So to me, one of the good things about group therapy, or what makes you a good group therapist, is getting a child to process their feelings and emotions without them even realizing that that's what they're doing. Because when you tell them that that's what they're about to do, immediately you're going to be met with some type of risk, because they're like, I don't want to talk about my feelings, you know. So getting them to do it in a laid-back setting or in a fun capacity, and then, you know, at the end, we wrap up and like, wow, so this is how you're really feeling, you know. So in getting them to work through those thoughts on their own is just a really amazing feeling. So I realized that was my passion. But it was a PRN position, for those that don't know, in hospital terms, that's as needed. So I left my good full-time job for an as-needed position. But once I completed my training and I wasn't, you know, under the little 90-day period, and I was just basically waiting for them to call me when they needed me. So financially, that wasn't going to pay my bills, because my mortgage company wasn't going to let me pay them as needed. So they were, you know, if I could have set up an as needed schedule with my bills, that would have been awesome. So I began to take other positions that were also just kind of as needed. So I'm filling out my way, finding my way as a therapist, and figuring out what's my niche, which area do I feel comfortable with. And even though it was a very trying year financially and emotionally for me, it was so fulfilling because I learned so much about myself, and I really strengthened my skill set and became who I am as a therapist now. So I was able to work with different populations. I worked through the Exchange Club, providing in-home therapy. And so under that capacity, I was able to do domestic violence training for, you know, the predator as well as the perpetrator, as well as the victim who was unaware that she was a victim, working with family counseling, doing marriage counseling. So I was able to do so many things that I never thought I was able to do or that I had the capabilities of doing. So even though it was a rough patch, you know, those things really, you know, you really have to take the lesson in all of that. And so I really appreciate the lesson that I was able to take away from that rough year that I went through before I was able to obtain full-time employment. Because I learned so much about myself, and I just became more confident in my skill set because I was able to work with these different populations and ethnicities. And before, I would have just put myself in a box as I can only work with youth, and that's I'm good because I can work with kids because I have that experience. But then I'm like, oh, no, Pam, you're good because you're able to engage people on all levels. And so it just really boosted my confidence and gave me the oomph that I needed to really just kind of push myself further in my career.
And, you know, you said early in the discussion, kind of by accident, and you accidentally fell into it and didn't know that you had been declared and those types of things. But if you really just think about all that you just shared and the path that you've taken, nothing, and I don't believe in coincidences.
Right.
I believe that you were on the path that you were destined to be on because
right.
everybody has to, and no matter how much you may try to run away from something or somebody
yes,
or a particular situation, if it is meant for you, I am a true believer that if the Creator has decided that this is what his purpose is for your life, then you can try to run from it, but you're only delaying the inevitable. So
right.
you are doing what you are supposed to be doing, and we are grateful for it because not everybody is mentally, physically, emotionally equipped to work with children the way that you do. So it's to really be admired, and as I said at the top of the show, you know, Pam is a relatively young woman, and she has an old soul. If you spend any time with her, and the way that she interacts with everyone, you would think she's been around before. So, you know, shout out to the original Pam Brown, as we like to say, your
the
mom.
The original Pam Brown. Yes,
the
yeah.
original Pam Brown, because she has done a phenomenal job with raising you all and instilling those values in you. And I do have the pleasure of knowing her personally. So I know of what you speak, and I know her heart and her passion for people. So you got it honest, and you're just carrying on what she has built, and that's to be admired and respected. But before we get down to the last few minutes, there are two things that I want us to talk about really briefly. One is I would like for you to share how people can get in touch with you. And please know, as I share each week with everyone, that the information will be provided later by way of the website, by way of our social media presence. And then, of course, you can go back and listen to the replay in case you came in late and you missed some things. But, Pam, if you would just let our listening audience know how they can get in touch with you.
Well, again, I am on social media. My Facebook page is Pam Brown, the Behavior Therapist. It's pretty simple, just Pam Brown, Behavior Therapist. That's my social media page. You can email me at therapistpambrown@gmail.com. Or you can visit my website, thetherapistpambrown.com. One thing that I didn't already share on my website as well as on my social media page, I do a weekly forum called Social Work Sundays where people can inbox me questions related to mental health awareness, related to parenting concerns that they may have, custody matters. I get a lot of custody questions. Or just any type of question related to mental health or behavioral health that you may have. So people inbox me these questions, and I answer them anonymously on my page because a lot of times people may want to ask, but they're afraid of, you know, just posting the question. So I don't reveal their name, and I allow people to, you know, just express that through an inbox, and I answer the questions. Sometimes I'll do it as a live video chat. Or sometimes I may, you know, go live on Facebook, or I'll just do a video. If I get a lot of questions, then I'll do a video at the end of the day on Sunday and just kind of address all of those questions at one time. So that is the way that you guys can find me, or you can email me a question. You can inbox me a question. Again, it's therapistpambrown@gmail.com, or you can go to my website at thetherapistpambrown.com.
Okay. And again, everyone, that information will be made available on our social platforms as well. But I do encourage you, please do reach out to her, because she, as she stated, she provides a lot of really good information, and she has that free and open forum for people to be able to communicate with her and get those questions answered, and you can find out more about resources that are available. And again, I just want to reiterate the fact that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So we are really committed to ensure that you understand that mental health is just as important as our physical health, because if our minds are not clear, it definitely affects the body. So I really want people to be in tune with practicing self-care and to listen to these broadcasts. We had a wonderful couple on last week who shared insights as well, and we will be having some more individuals to come on in the weeks ahead. So, Pam, as we wrap up, I usually about 5 minutes till break away so that I can share with what's going on with Walking Into a New Life and some things we have coming up. So since we're getting just about to that point, what I would like for you to do the next 2 or 3 minutes is to tell our listening audience about RBG Productions and any last points that you would like to share with regard to mental health or any events you have coming up.
Okay, before I go into RBG Productions, I forgot to mention that under the umbrella of me finding myself as a therapist, I have branched out to do workshops to step outside of the mental health hospital setting and to provide those workshops on a community basis. I host an event called Love in My Mirror, which is a self-esteem building workshop for teen girls. I also am starting to do a parenting workshop that'll be later this summer, as well as just teen group therapy sessions that will be held under the guise of workshops. So those are some things that you will find on my website. The Love in My Mirror workshop that I did last year was an amazing event. It was a week-long workshop for teen girls. The parents loved it. The children loved it. And I've continued to follow up with them. We had amazing results. We will be doing that again in July of this year. So I just want to make sure that I give that information. The Love in My Mirror workshop will be back, as well as the suicide awareness event. During the month of May, there are a couple of colleagues of mine that are hosting some really amazing mental health awareness events, and you will find those on my page a little bit later, a couple of colleagues that host mental health awareness events, and I definitely want to promote those. So if you are looking for any type of events to just talk about suicide awareness or depression in the African-American community, or just ways to be more aware of how to recognize that within your loved ones, definitely follow me on social media, because I know some really amazing therapists and counselors in the Memphis area that will be hosting events during the month of May. And Ms. Joyce mentioned RBG Productions. I don't want to go on and on about RBG Productions, but that is another branch of how I engage people and promoting cultural awareness through events and productions. RBG stands for Representing Brown Girls. You can also find us on social media at RBG Productions, and that is just a more laid-back, fun way for me to engage people. But the umbrella of that production company is basically to promote confidence, engage the community to cultural events, as well as to bring awareness to the plight of the African American in the country. So RBG Productions, you can find us on social media, or you can email us at rbgproductions@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Pam, for being a guest on the show. And I wanted to make sure that I tied in RBG because of what it does socially. I think sometimes, especially on this show, we're talking about issues like domestic violence, like sexual assault, human trafficking, things of that nature. And a lot of times part of self-care needs to be getting out and becoming more engaged and more positive and cultural type of event and becoming more in tune with who you are and the community around you. And so many times if we just allow ourselves to open up just a little bit, we would receive an outpouring of love and support, and we start discovering things about ourselves, things that get suppressed because we're in those abusive type of relationships, or we've gone through a trauma that has kept us pretty isolated and bound emotionally. And so that's why
right.
I wanted to make sure that I tied in what you do with RBG Productions as well, because if you're looking for an outlet for self-care, for fun, for engagement, for entertainment, and some genuine love and support, and just kind of get away from the ideas of trauma, then they offer events throughout the year that are just phenomenal, and they are for all ages. So just wanted to plug that in as well and tell you thank you so much for the work that you continue to do, and you do it, you know, without regard to what other people think or other people say. You do it because there's a need for it, there's a desire for it, and our young people need you. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and thank you for just doing what you do from the heart.
Thank you so much, Ms. Joyce. I feel the absolute same way about you. I just want to thank you for having me and ask that you continue to do the work as well. There are a lot of talkers in the city, in the country, in the world, not enough doers, and I thank you for being a doer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I didn't solicit that. She said that on her own. I'll talk to you after the show. So thank you so much, fam. And I want to just take a moment out, as I do at the end of every show, to just thank our listening audience for tuning in and being so faithful. I do want to acknowledge that until the end of this week, we are still collecting old cell phones, chargers, batteries, accessories. Doesn't matter the brand. It doesn't matter the condition. If they're broken, that's fine. We're collecting them because what happens is those phones are sent to Verizon's Hope Line project, and they are cleaned, refurbished, and they are programmed and given to survivors of domestic violence, and so that they can have an opportunity to communicate, whereas their finances might have allowed them to, you know, to cause them to not have a phone for whatever reason. It's a safe line and a safe way for them to be able to communicate with the rest of the world. So if you have any of those items, please, please, please make sure you get them to us. You can reach out to myself, or you can also make it to the attention of Sharon per year. Our email address is info@WINL. Again, that's info@WINL, you can, .org. And you can also call us at 901-466-6182. Again, that's 901-466-6182. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page, which is Walking Into a New Life. We also have a fan page for the radio show, and it's called Boots on the Ground. So lots of ways to be able to reach out to us. And, of course, if we're friends on Facebook, then send me a message and let me know if you have something to pick up. The last thing that I would like to do at this time is to just make an acknowledgement of a couple of people who have transitioned, and it was on the same day. One is Sharon Perrier's uncle, which was James Perrier, and I wanted to acknowledge him because Sharon is the Director of Community Engagement for Walking Into a New Life, and her uncle was very, very prominent in the civil rights movement. He was a foot soldier in the civil rights movement alongside of Fannie Lou Hamer and a lot of others from the Delta. There's actually an elementary school that has been named in his honor as well. And the last person that I wanted to mention is the Reverend Dr. Samuel Billy Kiles, who is an icon in the civil rights movement and is known around the world. We will miss him terribly. I am so grateful to be a part of this family. I married into the family a couple of years ago, but he has always treated me as a niece and not an in-law. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you to the family. Thank you to both of these men who have dedicated their lives to civil rights and community service. They actually transitioned on the same day, and ironically, their funeral services will be held the same day as well. So with that, I just want to say thank you for tuning in each and every week, as you always do. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for promoting and for encouraging us to keep going forward. This is our year anniversary of Boots on the Ground, and we are so excited to bring this show to everyone each and every Monday. We look forward to having you join us again on next week. Until that time,